everyone. I'm Natalie Dale, and thank you for joining us for this episode of Ahead of the Curve. We're a podcast series produced by the Georgia Department of Transportation that spotlights the amazing people, programs, and projects that help make our state's transportation network ahead of the curve. Every project Georgia DOT works on requires input and collaboration from many, many different people, offices, and often other local, state, and even federal agencies. As a result, we look for opportunities to streamline collaboration. What an awesome word, collaboration. We're going to talk about it a lot today. We work on that collaboration. We work to develop stronger working relationships and enhance efficiency between Georgia DOT and our partners. Today's episode focuses on one such example of collaboration. Again, today's buzzword, collaboration. Collaboration out of GDOT's Office of Environmental Services. The creation of the Interagency Office of Environmental Quality, or IOEQ. You know we love our acronyms, and that one's a mouthful, but that's what we're going to call it for the rest of the episode. Hear about how Georgia DOT funds federal positions in resource agencies such as U.S. Fish and Wildlife and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, as well as state agencies including the Georgia Department of Natural Resources and the State Historic Preservation Office, to work on our projects with the goal of enhanced project coordination and communication. We're going to talk about all that and some more collaboration right after this short break.
Human trafficking happens everywhere, sadly, but often happens on our nation's roadways. In Georgia, the average age of a human trafficking victim is 14 years old. By being aware and knowing the signs of human trafficking, you could make a difference and help stop this crime. Knowing the warning signs, like inappropriate clothing either for age or weather, the inability to speak for oneself, they show signs of physical abuse, or the individual is fearful, timid, or submissive. Georgia DOT is doing our part to end human trafficking. Please report any suspicious activity to the Georgia Human Trafficking Hotline at 866-363-4842. That's 866-363-4842. 363-4842. For information on the warning signs of human trafficking, visit doas.ga.gov. Let's band together to end human trafficking in Georgia.
Partnerships and collaboration, ding, are two things that could possibly make the world go round. Whether in your personal life or in your professional life, you've probably come to realize that most projects get done faster and better when a team of experts is pulled together to achieve a common mission. Today, I am pleased to be joined in studio by State Environmental Liaison with IOEQ, Sandy Lawrence, biologist with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Nicole Liette, and environmental specialist with the Georgia Department of Natural Resources Environmental Protection Division, RJ Hunter. Thank you all for joining us in-house today.
Thank you for having us, Natalie.
Thank you.
We are so excited to talk. We've been covering lately some really wonderful environmental topics. We've talked bats. We've talked a lot of different things out of the department and how those collaborations work together for the environment. And as we have recently celebrated Earth Day, it's nice to be able to talk about some of these important things. And a misconception I think a lot of people have about DOT that we may not care about the environment enough. And I think what's going on with the minds in this room is really a testament to proving that wrong, to say that we have a vested interest in our state and the environment and making things work better. So I want to introduce our guest, as always, first in-house. First, I'd like to introduce with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Nicole Liette. Nicole, welcome. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you got to where you are today, not just working with DOT, but in your role at the Army Corps of Engineers.
Sure. So I grew up in Ohio near Dayton. I went to Wright State University. I've always been a nature person, outdoors. I like hiking and anything outdoors, really. I started my career as an environmental consultant out in California. I worked there until the housing market crashed in 2008. Where my whole company kind of were all laid off. So after that, I decided that I wanted something more stable. I never wanted to have to go through that again. So I started doing temporary jobs with Park Service, which took me to Alaska, where I was looking for invasive plants in the backcountry. Took me to Texas, where I was tagging endangered turtles. And it took me to D.C., where I was at Anacostia East. I was planting plants for wetlands and restoration activities. So that all led me to apply for a job with the Army Corps. I actually started as a Department of Army intern. I did 2 years in Columbia, South Carolina, and I signed an agreement that I would be willing to be transported anywhere in the country after those 2 years. So I ended up at Lake Okeechobee in Florida, where I moved from regulatory into operations. I was an airboat operator on Lake Okeechobee. I was overseeing contractors as they sprayed for endangered weeds. I liked that job, but it was also kind of scary. There were large alligators, and driving an airboat is dangerous. We had a bunch of safety protocols, but it was also a small town, and I was young and single at the time, and I wanted more excitement. So I moved to Palm Beach, where I had like an hour and a half commute each way. So that was not really realistic for me. So as soon as I had the opportunity, I moved back to regulatory. There's a spot in Miami, Florida. So I took that, worked there for about 7 or 8 years. And then this position opened up. It was actually a promotion for me. I was looking to move ahead. And I just applied. I didn't really know what the job was. There was two spots. And I ended up getting this one and moved to Atlanta. And I've been here for about 3 years.
So I have to laugh because when you started talking about yourself, you talk about this after 2008, you wanted stability. And then you moved around and you did some of the coolest, most exciting, energizing, least stable things, which I'm sure was just a really thrilling time of life. Tell us about Alaska. Tell us about some of the things that were unique about working in Alaska, because I think it's just really, how many people get to work in Alaska?
Sure.
Other than the people who live there. I mean, it's just.
It was amazing. It was one of my favorite spots. It still is in the entire country. So it was a 6 month kind of temporary job. And I did all these temporaries to kind of get the experience to get a permanent job in the federal government. But so my job was to map invasive plants in the backcountry. So to get to the backcountry, they would take you up in these planes that would land in lakes. They'd, strap GPS to your back and send you out hiking for, a week at a time and come and pick you up at a spot you were supposed to meet. And there's dangers out there. We had grizzly bear training. We had to carry shotguns with us. And, it's beautiful out there. Luckily, I never saw a grizzly bear. We're also taught if you run out of conversation with your partner, because you were sent out there with two people, that, just start singing. So we'd sing 80 songs, and, that seemed, our voices seemed to keep the bears away. So that's a good tip there.
I'm sure that's going to come in handy. Yeah. In collaboration, 80s songs. Who doesn't love a good 80s songs to collaborate with? But staying on the West Coast, we also have in-house today RJ Hunter, who is with the Georgia Department of Natural Resources, the Environmental Protection Division. And you also hail from the West Coast.
Woo!
California. Tell us about Miss California. Tell us about how you got here. Tell us how you got here, how you got to work with Georgia Department of Natural Resources and with GDOT.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And thank you, IOEQ, for having me, Sandy, as well. I am Regendra Hunter. I go by RJ, and I am originally from Inglewood, California. I grew up in Inglewood, but everybody knows about Los Angeles. So I attended and got my master's degree at UCLA, and that was in urban planning with a concentration of environmental policy. So in that, it brought me to Georgia after I graduated, a couple of years after that, but still I landed here. And when I went to Fisk University for my undergraduate, I came to Georgia, and I liked, the area. So at the time, the cost of living was a little bit cheaper than what is happening now, and, people are moving here. But fast forward, I am now working on my doctorate at Capella University, and I'm focusing on microplastics. So again, how I got to EPD was the fact that I just kept applying. One of my friends who worked for the state, God rest her soul, she's gone now, but she kept telling me to apply. I got the position, and I've been with EPD for almost 7 years now. It'll be 7 years in May. So, I love what I'm doing. I love my boss, and, I love the environment. It's about protecting. It's something that we have to you know, we have to have. And I don't want to be walking, you know, future generations to be walking around here with respirators on.
What's great about this group to me and IOEQ is that everyone has such a unique expertise, and it comes together to form this sort of great working group, this great mind trust. You talk about microplastics and studying microplastics. Drop some knowledge.
Well, single-use plastics are like our straws, our plastic bags, our utensils that we're using, and a little bit more. But microplastics is everywhere. I'm sure that's in this room. We're probably breathing them now. But they're 5 millimeters. And they say that, you know, people are swallowing at least a credit card size every month. Some people say every week, but you just never know. You know, if you really think about it, when you go buy that water bottle, how long has that water sat in that water bottle? We don't never know. Sometimes it sits out in the Kroger's. I know sometimes put theirs out on the curb or something, and it's the sunlight and all that is hitting it. You know, we pretty much, you know, people don't think when they throw something in the back of their pickup truck, just hypothetically speaking, you know, that it may blow out when they're flying down the highway or down the street. Where does it end up? Usually in a ditch. Torrential rain or something, you know, heavy rain comes, you know, everything washes downstream. What's possibly downstream? A creek, a lake, you know, a water body. So we have to think about those things. So as microplastics break down, there are macroplastics, which are our bigger plastics. As you can see here, you can tap on that. It's probably plastic. And I know I wasn't supposed to tap. But
ambient noise.
But I mean, you know, it takes years for it to break down. But think about it. We may be living off of our foremothers and fathers' plastics, and our children or nieces and nephews will be, you know, living off our plastics. So we have to kind of think about what we need to do, and we need to basically refuse plastic straws, refuse utensils. But it's kind of hard sometimes because we got to change the mindset of the persons that are actually giving them to us, which are the fast food restaurants. Now, I know Ted Montana does paper straws. That's a repurposed straws, and those types of things are what we need to be doing. So that's a little changing of mindset. So that's my focus. How can I change behaviors and mindsets of individuals? It's going to be a task, but it's something that, you know, I will love to do.
I could talk to you for hours about that.
Yes, ma'am.
But we're going to hop to Sandy. I know, I'm so interested in it. Okay, but different episode. Yes, different ma'am. Episode, RJ. We'll come back to that one.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
So I'd like to introduce from the department, State Environmental Liaison with IOEQ, Sandy Lawrence. Sandy, welcome.
Thank you
we're
so
glad
Sandy.
To have you. Tell us about yourself.
I have a different background than Nicole and RJ. I am an architectural historian. And that's how I came to the Georgia Department of Transportation. It's 23 years and some change now. From grad school, I went to the University of Georgia in Athens and got a master's degree in historic preservation. And one of the ways in which you utilize that degree is to help in the private industry or in state government, as with GDOT, ensure compliance with Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act. So that's what brought me to GDOT. GDOT hires their own internal in-house professionals. I'm, of course, a historian, but we have archaeologists, we have ecologists, and we have air and noise specialists, we have NEPA analysts, all working here to provide that level of expertise that GDOT needs in order to deliver our huge program. And so I, through the years, have been played many roles, but all within the Environmental Office of Environmental Services. And now the State Environmental Liaison, and it's super exciting because I do get to work with the natural side, which I haven't really done a lot of prior to this position, and getting to know Nicole, RJ, and the other reviewers from the other agencies has been a huge part of what I love about my job, because that is in large part what IOEQ does, is it brings people together, and sometimes outside of projects, which is ideal because that's the way we get to know each other and we continue to build that trust that's so important.
And with this group, we touch a lot on some environmental issues just because of who's in the room, but you make a great point. The environment for Georgia is not just the physical environment, it's also the history of the state and protecting the history of the state as road projects do move through, how we protect species, the natural environment, but as well as the historic environment of the state. So there's a lot going on, a lot of minds at the table. So kind of walk us through how the group works together.
Now, GDOT for several years has funded positions with various agencies, state and federal, to prioritize our reviews. We've done that probably since the 90s. And the numbers of those positions have risen and fell with the demand and the need at GDOT and our project load. And that is critically important to delivering the program because, just think about it, everyone else in the state is also going to these agencies for permitting and for approvals in order to do their projects. And we, as a large agency working all over the state, would be competing for that attention. So we needed dedicated people who would be devoted to our projects and prioritizing our work. And that's what we achieved through the personnel agreements. But there's so much more than that because the relationships we build through those agreements is really the most important part of it. We work with the agencies regardless, but this gives us an even a closer relationship with having these designated people who work with us on a regular basis. And what IOEQ does even more than that is, just like today, you know, RJ and Nicole are getting to spend time together, which they normally wouldn't get to do, and get to interact where they wouldn't normally get to do. And sometimes you only interact on a project basis and sometimes not at the same time and not together. So it affords us opportunities for the agencies to get to work together, but also the Office of Environmental Services, and getting to know. And that is so important for building trust and to allow for collaboration, because you can't collaborate if you don't trust the person across the table from you, that they're going to do what they say they're going to do, and that they're going to deliver on time, that they're going to reach out to you in the same vein that you would want to be treated. So that is really what IOEQ is about. It's more than being a state environmental liaison. It's everybody in the Office of Environmental Services and everyone at the agencies working together. And IOEQ, we provide those opportunities in addition to what's already going on and bringing everybody together.
I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth because I thought the buzzword was going to be collaboration, but it seems to me it's relationships, because just sitting around this table, y'all have such a good rapport with each other. Y'all obviously are very comfortable working with each other. I get a good vibe from y'all. So, and y'all are just a small representative of the group. So from y'all's perspective, Nicole and RJ, talk about how your groups, your agencies sort of benefit from, play into the group, and how your goals, not just the goals of GDOT, because while those goals are important to us, the purpose of this group is to make common goals or to understand goals better. So talk just about, Nicole, we'll start with you. Talk about how the process and the group and the coordination benefits U.S. Army Corps of Engineer and the these relationships, how that has helped.
Sure. So our mission is to protect the nation's aquatic resources and navigation, but also allowing development through fair and balanced permit decisions. So that's my mission. When GDOT typically comes to us, they have their work that they're doing in some kind of water. So my requirements require for me to coordinate for NEPA, which is the National Environmental Policy Act, also with the Endangered Species Act, with 106 that Sandy mentioned earlier. And having these designated people and these relationships makes it a lot easier for me to go to RJ and ask about our water quality certificate that her agency would have to issue, or to another fish and wildlife person and ask about a species. The permit application would either come in two different ways. It would be state funded or federally funded. So if it's federally funded, Federal Highways would be the lead federal agency, and they would kind of do all that coordination up front. We would also review it on the back end to make sure that it hits our needs. If it's a state-funded project, we would be the lead federal agency on that, and we would be coordinating all these things. So collaboration and these relationships have definitely streamlined our permit decisions, made them quicker, made them better. GDOT, you know, if any new policy comes up from DC or headquarters or the Supreme Court, we can work together and find a path forward that's like, that helps everybody and that meets our requirements.
RJ, same question to you.
EPD is basically protecting the waterways as well. And our main thing is infrastructure. That's where I am on the side of infrastructure and making sure environmental sedimentation, no one is impacting a buffer and those types of things, as well as plan review. I focus on plan review. My teammates pretty much do the buffer variances, but it's all in compass. And we want to make sure that, you know, not only GDOT, but if we see something else out there, you know, that could be impacting. So again, federal highways, as Nicole spoke on, you know, we're looking at projects that are federally funded and as well as state funded. But like Sandy said, the relationship we can be able to actually balance it out and be able to go and talk to one another to make things run smoother and, like she says, streamline it together. But we are concerned about making sure that no one's impacting a buffer or impacting a water resource. We want to make sure that, you know, everything is by compliance, and we also have rules and regulations that we abide by as well, pass it on to our fellow collaborative team members.
Ding, she said collaborative. I'll take it. I'll take it. Sandy, prior to 2019, do you feel that there was a lot of double work, a lot of sort of getting bogged down in the process because maybe working in silos, there wasn't a good understanding, there were knowledge gaps. It wasn't for lack of wanting the process to go smoothly or correctly or for everyone, you know, to do right by the environment, to do right by everyone. It's just everyone was working in a silo, and which is not productive. So can you sort of take us back to before the formation of IOEQ to how it works now?
Absolutely. So before 2019, as Natalie said, we did have the positions, but each section within the Environment Office of Environmental Services interacted and coordinated with their respective resource agencies. So our ecologists would have primarily worked with Nicole and with RJ, and they may not have, on the normal course of things, worked with our cultural resources side of personnel on a regular basis anyways. So what IOEQ offers is just bringing us all together, all of the positions together from these very different specialty areas, which our paths cross definitely on projects, but I'm also able to find and look for opportunities having this kind of overarching view to bring everyone together, whether it's on a project specifically where I'm coordinating a meeting that will help, or I'm doing monthly meetings with different agencies, including our Office of Environmental Services staff, so that we can coordinate regularly, which is so critical to maintaining trust and accountability and affording opportunities for innovation, because that's the other side of our collaboration, is because of all these great minds coming together at different times where if it is a solution for a problem that, or not even a problem, but just a new challenge because the law changed, and we still got to deliver a program. And how do we do that? We come together to figure that out. And as opposed to, well, you know, it's terrible to be you, you figure it out. You know, we're all working together to try to deliver GDOT's program. And our resource agencies, of course, their mission is very different from ours, but nonetheless, we can come together because our project's going to go forward. They want to make sure that we take into account the resources and abide by those federal and state laws. And that's where we find that common ground. Of course, our specialists in-house are all passionate about their different specialty areas and make good resource partners for our agencies. And in that way, I think finding opportunities not only for our agencies to be meeting together face-to-face, where Nicole knows RJ and RJ knows Nicole, outside of just a project and seeing her name on a CC. It's also our staff in the Office of Environmental Services. The Corps comes and spends a day each month at our office. So does our reviewers from the State Historic Preservation Office. And in the times that they're here, we meet in person. We're gonna have a meeting this afternoon. So that's always a wonderful opportunity in this kind of post-pandemic world where we're very virtual. And then the State Historic Preservation Office, when they're here, the two reviewers, architectural historian and archaeologist, they take advantage of that time to have in-person, face-to-face meetings with our cultural resources staff. It's these opportunities that come about, I think, more frequently, and because we have IOEQ, because all of us working together and me kind of being the funnel sometimes can see and identify opportunities better than when we were working more siloed.
You bring up another point that I didn't even realize till I looked at the date, and then you talked about post-COVID world. IOEQ sort of was born at the cusp of COVID pandemic?
We were about a year before COVID, I guess in 2019 in March or so, when we all kind of had to stay at home. And switching gears then, you know, trying to figure out what would work in that virtual environment, because prior to that we were accustomed to, you know, y'all just think about it, you had on your calendar, I'm going to go meet with Nicole down in College Park I need to allow 30 minutes travel time to get there.
On a good day.
Yeah, yeah. And that was all, you know, this is just what we did. You know, I've got to make sure there's a conference room available. Those sort of logistics, we don't have to worry about it. It's so nice to have the immediacy of virtual, and I can see her on camera, and I can still have that connection. But it is also very nice still to do the in-person. So it's definitely navigating both and making sure we have both.
I was just going to say, for all of the negatives of the sort of pandemic and adjusting, it had to, as IEQ was sort of moving and grooving, if you will, that having that sort of virtual, everyone thrown into that virtual world maybe benefited the group, because there wasn't that, you know, you were already working on building the relationships, and then you had a way to, everyone was transitioning to a way. Did that help?
I think it did. I came into my position in 2022 in the end, you know, towards the end, where we were still trying to figure out what the new normal was. But I had I call them gatherings. We have IOEQ gatherings. And it is an opportunity to get everybody together, because everybody can jump on the virtual call, because we've got people in Savannah, we've got people in Southwest Georgia, so it's not always practical to bring them to Atlanta, or maybe, you know, finding a meeting place in the middle is not convenient for everyone. So, and then let me tell you, I threw every virtual meeting tool in the toolbox at that meeting to try to figure out, you know, how to get engagement, because that's certainly a part of it. And what came out of that first meeting, though, is one of the newer people to a position said, I want to know, you know, what RJ does, and, you know, what she does for GDOT as compared to what I do, and, you know, what Nicole does. And so we had another gathering where we shared that. Everyone went around and said, well, this is what I do for GDOT, and this is how I interact with everyone, and this is how I work with the other agencies. So it's fulfilled that need as well, and those are things that are sometimes better facilitated virtually.
So back to the spot, everyone's story time. What is your favorite sort of success story, either that you've experienced personally or from your agency or entity's perspective working? Is there a specific project? Is there a specific thing that you say, you know, this is where IOEQ really shine. This is where the relationships and the collaboration really, you know, where the rubber met the road. This was it. This is what we were working for. You know, Sandy?
Well, I think that happens a lot with the Corps. They have four project managers, of which Nicole is one of the senior members. And we are able to prioritize the projects that we send to them. So just for example, it wasn't one that was assigned to you, Nicole, but one of the other project managers, I had to email her last week and say, this project has unexpectedly jumped to the top of the list for us as far as priority is concerned, and can you make this date, which was very short. It was, you know, maybe 5 days or 10 days at the most. And she was able to do that. And I knew exactly what she was working on. I knew what impact it would have on the other things she was working on. And then through that partnership, we're able to do that and do those regular updates. So the other instance with EPD most recently is we came to them a couple of years ago and said, hey, instead of sending physical plan sets to you, RJ, in the mail, and I don't know if anybody listening knows what those look like, but they're big, huge rolls of plans, can we do this digitally? And that sort of started a whole big movement at EPD to convert to digital reviews in every office. So that has evolved. They're right now beta testing it with us. So pretty soon we'll be doing digital reviews of plan sets. And that's something that happened through this collaboration. And also the innovation, I think, that comes from that, which is everybody thinking, well, how can we make this better? How can we make it easier?
Nicole, do you have a special moment that you said, you know, really sort of saw the value in what y'all were doing as a group?
So my big win is almost every project. As a driving member of the public, I'm a proponent for safe roads. You know, I don't like sitting in traffic. I have a young daughter, so always want to protect her safety. But my passion is for nature and the aquatic resources. So every time we can avoid an aquatic resource, minimize, reduce impacts, that is a big win. And through collaboration, I think we've all have become better at doing that and better stewards of the earth.
Well said, well said. RJ, do you have a special moment?
They're all special, but I think for me it's the relationships, because not only am I working with GDOT, I'm working with GDOT's consultants. So, you know, it's like I would have probably talked to somebody, you know, outside, but for the most part, I'm not just going to Sandy and Sandy, you know, asking her questions. But it's just like we all said, it's the relationships that's being built across the board, working with the consultants, talking to some of the other higher uppers in within GDOT. So those relationship buildings, and you know, I don't know what that person may know. So like you said, it gives us time to really talk and learn the person, but also to see that maybe we have some similar interests, you know, outside of work per se. And not just to say build a friendship, but you know, that kind of helps to make the workflow go a little bit smoother. Just like Nicole said, you know, I've become more open to be like, okay, what's that? You know, I'm looking around now and you know, I'm reporting back to my manager, and he's got to halt me because he's like, you're not an inspector. You're, you know, you're a plan reviewer. Stop, you know. I understand you want everything to be right, but it's like, well, how come they're doing this? You know, but, you know, back to your question, you know, I think it's the relationships that is being built. And that's one reason why, you know, I'm happy to be a part of the IOEQ team. So.
Speaking of special moments, I know that the commissioner and senior management met with the White House's infrastructure office to talk about IOEQ, and it was so impressive that there's a desire for it to be a model for other states, as well as sort of sharing that with the secretaries of the cabinet to see how it can work for them. Can you talk about that?
That is super exciting.
Yes, it's very exciting.
I wasn't officially in attendance, but I was listening in.
There in spirit.
Which was super exciting. And the fact that they come to us and ask us how we do this, and it is, I think, a model that other states can totally benefit from, because other states definitely have the same kind of personnel agreements and relationships. But the fact that we're bringing all of us together is, I think, unique. And, you know, doing that daily interaction sometimes and coordination, and having a one person that, you know, is going to be able to, if you're having, you have a question, and then get you to the right person, because our organization, GDOT, is huge. And sometimes that's hard. In fact, oftentimes it's a park service that'll call me and say, hey, Sandy, we need a contact for this, you know, and I can provide that. So it was just such an honor that they asked us, and that they then said that they wanted to share this because of our success. And I think we just need to continue to build on that and to grow and to learn, just as we've learned from the pandemic, how to, after, you know, what it looks like to be virtual, what it looks like to be in person, how to grow those relationships, which is so important, which that may not be the exciting thing, you know, that you see like a news story on, because it's incremental over time. But where you see dividends are in like the BAT programmatic that you did the podcast last time, or a couple months ago, because of the relationships and the trust built there with the ecologists in our office and their leadership and the agencies they work with. That level of trust is one component of IOEQ that just comes underneath everything everyone's doing, and just also keeps that foundation firm and keeps it solid, so we can continue to do things like that, continue to have these landmark agreements that help the species in this case, and help us deliver the program for the traveling public in Georgia. So yeah, it was a huge honor to be identified in that way, and something we'll definitely keep striving to.
I mean, let's be honest. Everyone could benefit from the type of common goals, sort of working towards common goals, good relationships, having conversations. I don't think there's anyone in the world right now who couldn't benefit from a little bit more of the IOEQ structure in their life. What does the next 5 years bring for IOEQ?
I think one of the things that we identified, I think all of us did in having to go completely virtual during the pandemic, is we have to be so much more intentional about our communication. We can't just rely on, oh, I'm going to, you know, bump into Nicole tomorrow, I'll be able to talk to her whatever the case may be. And that's, I think, what IOEQ does, is provide that structure where they haven't said, but Nicole and RJ are extremely busy with project work. And so trying to find time for collaboration with the big C that, you know, you're thinking out outside of your projects is hard. So that's what IOEQ can do and does do. And in the next 5 years, it's looking for those opportunities and what that looks like. Maybe, you know, we've been kind of brainstorming a newsletter so that people can see on a daily basis, or, you know, daily. I'm not going to do a daily newsletter, but, you know, maybe a monthly. So I'll be talking to communications at some point.
Monthly sounds good. Yeah.
But, you know, to highlight some of the things that we've talked about today that happen, and sometimes we don't give them the credit they deserve because it happens on our day-to-day. But it's huge, and I can say it goes towards what GDOT needs to do in order to deliver our program.
I will say, to your point of everyone being busy, we've been so excited to get this podcast into the rotation and the schedules. Everyone is so busy in this room. So thank you, not only for being here, but for what you do, because y'all are doing the real work. Y'all are doing a lot of work. We know how busy your schedules are. So RJ, talk about the future.
Well, I just wanted to interject real quick, because Sandy's being modest. She has some time. We allot, about 30 minutes or so to just talk, you know, about anything. But mainly we were talking about updates of work. So, you know, she does a lot that time, and she, you know, has that schedule on our schedules to make sure that she touched bases with us sometime, you know, within the months ahead. So as far as future for me and EPD, I pray that they keep me, but no.
We'll make sure your boss hears this.
Right. No, but seriously, I just, you know, I'm just excited. I also want to do some cross training within the, you know, EPD department, environmental education wise. So, you know, hopefully that could be something that I can also, you know, do in conjunction to what I'm doing with GDOT, as well as the erosion and sedimentation unit. So that's my future thoughts, you know, because I want to get out and communicate with the community and be able to, you know, articulate a little bit more on why, what's the importance of, you know, like they said, the knowledge gap. We have a knowledge gap within, like I was talking about, the microplastics, but we also have a knowledge gap just overall environmental, because people are concerned about safety. They're concerned about, you know, the well-being of their families. The economy, we have to be real, is going up. You know, some people are losing jobs. You know, we just have to be real about it. So, you know, just being able to help someone, bless someone. So
you bring so much value to the table and to the group. So thank you. What about you?
Yeah. Well, we're working on several programmatic initiatives. We have some agreements that expire that we're hoping to improve on. So just more streamlined and more collaboration as the years go by.
No, thank you all again, and because I know how busy you are, busy collaborating, busy with your own groups, busy with what y'all do with IOEQ. So thank you for being here. It was a great show. I'm excited for everyone to listen. So thank you.
Thank you, Natalie, for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for having us.
We'll do this again. We'll give you a couple months break. We'll do this again. If you have an idea for an upcoming episode that doesn't include having this group back, because we'll have this group back, but if you have an idea for an upcoming episode or you have a question, please reach out to us at aotc@dot.ga.gov. Again, that's AOTC, ahead of the curve, @dot.ga.gov. Join us next month when we are joined by Georgia DOT's Commissioner Russell McMurray. It's one you won't want to miss. We said that a lot, but you're not going to want to miss the commissioner, believe me. So that's next on Ahead of the Curve.